Children, you are dismissed at this time. The rest of you, you can open your Bibles to Ephesians 5. We're going to be looking at the preeminence of Christ. What we have been doing for the last, I don't know how long a period of time, we've been working through the book of Colossians. And last couple weeks, we looked at the wives' submission. And now this week, in Colossians 3:19, it says that the husbands are to love their own wives and be not bitter or harsh with them. What I thought I'd do is what I did with the wives is we're going to look at kind of a broad aspect of it. And we're going to look at some of the roles of the husband in a broad way. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll try to refine it down just like I did with the ladies. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for the time in just again being reminded of some of these truths in your word. And as we heard this last one, there is power in the blood, and you are mighty to save. But the question really before us today is, you know, do we really want to contort our lives to the teaching of Scripture? Specifically, as we looked at the last couple of weeks with the wives and submitting. And now this week with the husbands loving. Again, Father, it is so vital. It is so needed. Marriage is a picture of your relationship with us. The bride of Christ, the church, the visible manifestation of it. So, Father, again, I just pray that you will quiet our hearts. You will still the distractions. Father, that you would be able to work within our hearts here. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at again just a couple of verses in Ephesians 5. And then we'll get into this. Because I know you ladies won't mind if we go too long here today, but we do want to have a little bit of time this afternoon for other things. So as we get down to Ephesians 5:25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, again, that verse by itself doesn't mean much, but as you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is there that this verse has a lot of meaning and a lot of weight to it. Notice verse 26, "In our marriage relationship, we as husbands, as Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." Men, you and I are to do the same thing. As I mentioned, I think a week or two ago when I do premarital counseling, one of the questions I ask each of the prospective spouses is, how is your marriage going to make the other person better? Well, husbands, since you've been dwelling with your wives now for a period of time, how are they more godly because of your leadership? That you might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Goes on to describe that just a little bit, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hateth his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does his church." Kind of interesting, that last verse we just read, that's kind of a good verse for self-esteem, self-image, self-worth, with people saying they hate themselves. But we're not going down that trail today. Today what I want to talk about is basically the role of the husband. And again, I want to look at it broadly, and then we'll come back next week to Colossians 3 on 19. Which then, this stuff in your bulletin, this is your guys' homework for next week. Because here are 98 ways to convince your wife that you love her. And I'm not saying you have to do all 98 of them, but I suppose if you tried within a week, your wives would be, well, in rapture, thinking that the rapture had taken place and it'd be heaven on earth. Some of these are ridiculous. Some of them are kind of goofy, but they're a start. I'm not saying that by you acting on all these 98 ways to express love to your wife is going to solve it. There probably could be, 9,998. But here's a reference point. The other one also is 50 questions to ask your wife. And again, some of these are kind of goofy. But, I would hope that many of our conversations go way beyond what is your wife's favorite color, your wife's favorite food, your wife's favorite restaurant. I would hope that all of you would be able to say, my wife right now, this makes her most satisfied as a wife. This makes her more satisfied as a mother. These are the struggles that she's facing with right now. This is what makes her the happiest. This is what makes her the saddest. So I know some of these are kind of goofy, but again, these are not all of them either. But I would suggest that you would think through some of these things. Now, people, some people are really stupid with truth and with tools. And you try to give people the truth and they go home and they just beat up the other person with it. Everyone's feeling bad and it's just really a dumb thing to do. Don't do that with this, okay? Don't sit down and say, okay, confounded, we got to do this. Like you would do it anyway, but in any event. The moral of the story is we got to sit down and we need to do this, so come on, give me your five favorite authors. Well, what's the most enjoyable book you're reading right now? Hurry up, come on, let's get this done so we can go on with life. Don't do this. Some of this you ought to have already been able to pick up through observation. Now, that's dwelling with them according to knowledge. We'll get there in a little bit. But you need to, if you need to ask, don't be afraid to ask these questions. And see if we can't get beyond, hey, how's the weather? How was work? Good. What's for supper? You want to watch anything on TV? You want to go grab a movie or get something on demand? Good night. See you in the morning. Which, unfortunately, although we may giggle a little bit about that, that is many times the amount of depth of conversation within a home. Which brings me then to the first point. So now that we've read a few verses there in Ephesians, go to the back of your Bible just a few more pages to 1 Peter 3. Now, we looked at 1 Peter 3 last week for the wives. And in 1 Peter 3, again, it is true. Likewise, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, let me tell you what the Bible's plan of what that husband should be looking like. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, 1 Peter 3, 7. You got it up on the board. Help save some time and help save the rustling of papers. It says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And we're going to spend about 5-6 minutes on that. Dwell with them with understanding or according to knowledge. That's my old KJV background, which is why I read those verses in the bulletin many times so I don't trip you up. Going on, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, in order that your prayers be not hindered. And there's a lot in that verse that we're not going to unpack. I like the last part of it because your relationship with God is about zip. If your relationship with your wife is about zip. I think that's what that verse kind of clearly says. If you are not in a proper relationship with God, your prayers are going to be hindered. You put a wall between you and God, just like you put a wall between your wife, and you're just going to have a really hard time of it. So, we want to look at just the first part of that, and that is husbands as a learner. Dwell with them with understanding. With understanding. Okay, you're to dwell with them. Dwell with them according to understanding. It's a present tense verb. And again, being a little older, having been married 28 plus years, there has been times where if I would still be treating my wife and living with my wife when we were footloose and fancy free as college students living in a trailer park on Davis Highway in Pensacola, Florida, well, we wouldn't be living together. Because our lives were completely different. Her life was completely different. Young, free. Like I truly said, those days there in college were probably the less responsibility years of our life. Had to pay the more rental property, rent on the lot for our trailer house, our school bill. That was about it. We were both working. no kids. We both were ahead in our classes, so we took very few classes those last years we were married. Sunsets on the beach in Florida. Just gorgeous. Going down to Pensacola Beach, watching the sunset over and over again, seeing the sea oats waving in the air. Those were fun, carefree days. Hopefully it will be repeated when we get to heaven to some degree. Now, life is radically different. And there's the present tense verb here of men, you must continually be dwelling with the knowledge of today as you deal with your wives. Today's knowledge. Let me give you a few ideas of what this sounds like. You will dwell with her today as she's waiting for test results. Today's knowledge. You will be dwelling with her today as she's dealing with elderly parents. Or as the parents are getting a little older and they're still driving. We're a little afraid. They're falling. They're tripping. What are we going to do with that? You're going to dwell with her when the grandchildren or the child is sick and the concerns of swine flu. Oh, it's going through the schools. Do we send them? Do we not? What are we going to do with this? And you need to dwell with her according to that knowledge and that understanding. Today, you will dwell with her as she anticipates going to work again tomorrow and facing those employees again tomorrow or those co-workers tomorrow, the same frustrations that are not going to go away. You will dwell with her today according to that knowledge, and you will dwell with her this week according to that same knowledge of the frustrations at work. So when she gets the flu or she gets the cold or she gets the swine flu, she's just not feeling well. You need to be dwelling with her and that with that understanding. As she's struggling spiritually and she's really wrestling through some real struggles in her life and the satanic attack and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is all pulling at her, you need to be dwelling with her according to that understanding or with that understanding. As she is beginning to rejoice in spiritual victory, you need to be dwelling with her in that way as well. You need to dwell with her in a way that is understanding when the weight of the world is on her shoulders. You need to be dwelling with her. Because with that knowledge of the elderly parents and the work and the children and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, with all of that knowledge then, men as leaders, and we're going to really try to define that this week, next week, because it's not I am the last word of the whole thing. But with that knowledge, then, you will lead with that knowledge, and that will define the activities of the home. That then will define the limitations of the home. With that knowledge, then, you will lead in the directions and the goals of that home. That's what the leadership is about. With that knowledge, you will then contort yourself to becoming the kind of wife that she desires. You know, honey, how many times do I got to tell this through your head? All I want is sometimes just a shoulder to cry on. I don't want you to force me into fixing it before the last tear is gone. You know, I've been telling this for how many years? Why can't you just sit there and listen to me? In fact, why don't you just listen? And on it goes. But with that knowledge, then, we will become the kind of husband that she wants. With that knowledge of her, it's going to determine how you work out this afternoon. With that knowledge, that's going to determine what you're going to do tonight. With that knowledge, it's going to determine how you're going to help her. Hey, honey, sure, I'll sweep the floor. I don't want you to sweep the floor. I can do the floor. Why don't you fix the electrical instead? I can't do that. Yeah, but I want to sweep the floor. Go ahead. Sweep the floor. I don't care. With this knowledge, you will then be able to know how to encourage her, support her, allow her to find refuge in you. And again, there's no such thing as a perfect husband, wives. And some of you say, you don't need to tell me that. We know. But you can still, and your ultimate refuge needs to be in God. I'm glad we sang that last song, or one of the songs, He covers me with His hand. That is the ultimate perfect refuge we want. But you as a husband, living with your wife according to knowledge, that will allow you to help her or allow her to find refuge in you. This knowledge will define the curriculum and the subject matter that you will use to help her spiritually. as you sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the Word. This knowledge will help you to be a better parent. You know, Dad, you can't be gone all the time and be involved in the kids' lives. Yeah, but I need this and we need this. We got all these bills. Yeah, but you don't understand, Dad. They're growing up fast and it won't be too many more years and they'll be gone. And you really need to come watch these games. You really need to do this. You really need to sit down and play with them. That knowledge will help you be a better parent. The knowledge then will help you be a better Christian and a church member, to have a better testimony within the church and within the community. Divorce really kind of is a real slam against Christianity. Two individuals, allegedly, with the Holy Spirit within them, who has given them all the resources of life and godliness, and they turn their back on God and each other. With the knowledge, though, of dwelling with her according to understanding or with understanding, you will then be able to have the marriage that God has intended. With this knowledge of your wife, and this is a real one here, real practical nuts and bolts, what are you going to do this Thanksgiving, guys? Any situations different last year with her? Should I park here for a little bit? Or maybe we should just quickly go on. Is that kind of... Football. Is there something more than football? All right, but moving on. But again, men, you know, all seriousness, with your wife and the situations of life, are they different than last year? Do the plans maybe need to be altered? Or are they just going to be the same just because we always do them the same? Why are we going to do what we do for Thanksgiving? Well, with that knowledge, it'll help you make the right decisions. With that knowledge of her, you'll keep the passion and romance in marriage. And for just a brief snippets of time, both you as the husband and you and the wife can enjoy heaven on earth for just a few fleeting moments throughout our times together. Now again, guys, let me just forewarn you, because I've heard this literally with my own ears. If you do not, present tense, continually dwell with them, understanding them and their struggles and their lives, and you just keep going oblivious to them, you will hear these same words, or you could hear these same words like I have heard on occasion. And it sounds something like this. I don't know how else to say this to you, so I'll just say it straight out. My feelings for you are dead. And now that the kids are gone, adios. Because I don't need to live like this anymore. And the kids are on their way out, and I don't want this anymore. Adios. And I'm not justifying that, it's just explaining it. And the man has just been oblivious and has done his own thing, trampled on feelings, and on and on and on. And there's been some submitting to the wife when the kids are home and all that. But now we're in a financial status and now the demographics have changed that, you know what, I can live by myself now. Goodbye. Men, you must be dwelling with them according to understanding. Secondly, let's go back to Ephesians 5:25. Husbands as lovers. Husbands as lovers. And again, I know these are kind of lame illustrations, but you can't love someone unless you know them. You really can't. I have sent my in-laws some flowers here a little while ago, and my mother-in-law still does not like cut flowers. It's the biggest waste of money in her mind. Now, there's other things that she likes, but unless I know them, I'm not really going to be able to demonstrate love to her without knowledge. So once you know everything about your wife that needs to be known on at least a weekly basis, if not daily, then you need to be a lover. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, you're to love her as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives. Now we got to stop here just for a minute, because when we were talking about the wives last week with submission, there's no little parenthesis, there's no little footnote or endnote saying, now husbands, love your godly wives. Husbands, love your wives of character. Husbands, love your wives as, you know, you wish your wife. It's none of that. Just as wives are supposed to submit to sometime ungodly husbands, as 1 Peter 3:1 says, husbands, you're to love your wives regardless whether they love you back, regardless if they're nice, regardless if they're women of character or spirituality. It doesn't matter. It's your wife. You have to love her. In fact, to buttress that a little bit, how did the church, I know the church wasn't formed fully till Peter or Acts 2, but how did the church in seminal form treat Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Not very nice. Betrayed him, make fun. Oh, is this not the carpenter's son? Is there anything good that comes out of Galilee? Is this the Nazarene? And on it goes. And they denied him, crucified him. So, husbands, you are to love her, period. There is none of this, yeah, but, you know, you just don't know my wife. Well, I may not know your wife, but I know she's your wife, and you need to love her, just like Christ loved the church. So it needs to be first. Romans 5:8, as we said, but God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet, Christ died for us. So husbands, you need to be loving her first. First time there's an argument, you need to go seek reconciliation. First time there's some sort of a disagreement, you need to go make it right. And this is where it just irritates me to no end. This is where leadership takes place. And I am just so, and I can't get in the flesh, but I am so irritated with some of the garbage that's going on under the ruse of leadership. I could just spit. If you guys want to be leaders, then confound it, stand up and be a leader. And you need to lead in being the greatest lover around here. You need to be going first when there's arguments, first when there's disagreements, first running interference with families, first when it comes to just sacrificing and say, honey, I know this is coming up. We don't have a lot of money, so I will demonstrate my love for you, and then I'm packing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all week long, drinking Wawa coffee. No, I can't do that. Dunkin' Donut coffee, so you have the extra money. Honey, I won't go out to eat. Honey, I'll make dinner. Honey, I'll do this for you. Don't give me this garbage. Well, where's my leadership? And people need to respect me. Hogwash. Get out there and show yourself to be a leader. And love them first. Love them sacrificially. As Christ loved the church and gave. Now again, for me to pull out my billfold here and pull out, I don't know how much money's in here. I really don't. Robin's had it in there. Wow, there's some 20s and a 10. And give this to you, that's not sacrificial love. Because we got paid this week, didn't we, Robin? Hey, we got paid this week. That's not sacrificial. Sacrificial is costing you something. So again, not that I would necessarily do this, but it would sound something like this. Honey, I will give up hunting so that we can go sit in a hotel somewhere. I know, that's... Marty, I said I wouldn't necessarily do that. But that sacrifice, or let's bring it down to maybe some more realistic stuff. We'll go to your families this Thanksgiving. We haven't been to your families for a while. You want to go to your sisters. You know what? You want to stay home and do nothing. You know, I really like getting together with my family, and we don't do this too often, but you really want to stay home? You know what, honey? We'll stay home. Sacrificial love is what we're talking about. And then it's unmistakable. It is just unmistakable. There should never, ever, 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 you kind of get the idea? Ever, 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 ever get a, there should never, ever, ever, I'm getting the point across, be a point or a time in your wife's life where she doubts you love her. Right? Right? Go ahead, ladies. Say, preach it, brother. Go on. We got all day. I ain't leaving here until he starts sweating. Thank you. As your own body. Number two, there should be a number two coming up. As your own body in Ephesians 5:28. Men, with the time and attention and concern you give to your own body, you need to be loving her with that same attention, same detail. Oh my goodness, as we, even guys stand in front of the mirror and primp and prune and cut and trim and all those fun things, and we're so concerned with how we look, and the tie's got to be just right, or the clothes can't be wrinkled like we pulled it out of bed or whatever, you know, we want to look nice. Well, guys, do that same in attention for her. We also need to be consistent with the teaching of the Bible. And we haven't looked at this yet, but here's a verse that you need to be reminded of once in a while. Let's read it together, shall we? He says, "For I," and again, this is 1 Corinthians 7, that moral, sex, divorce, possible remarriage, that whole chapter. And he says, "Listen, for some of you, I want you to remain unmarried. For he who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But for those of you who are married, he who is married cares for the things of the world, how he may..." Yeah. So again, sometimes we say, "Gee, I wonder what God's will is." Ladies, write this down. I mean, put this on the computer disk and get a big old graph or a big old chart and have it plastered there in the living room. What is God's will? Please your wife. As you're able to please the Lord and do things for the Lord, those of you who are married, you ought to be pleasing your wife. You need to be pleasing her. Pleasing means to accommodate yourself to the opinions of your wife. Pleasing her means to accommodate yourself to the desires of your wife. Pleasing her means to accommodate yourself to the interests of your wife. So it's not just necessarily meeting the needs, but some of her wants, her desires, her opinions. Let's think this through just a minute, and then we'll go to one other point here. When we pray to God, do we pray just for needs, or do we not sometimes pray for desires and wants? Yeah. Now, God, does He just supply all our needs, or sometimes does He give us our desires and wants? Well, then why don't we do that to our wives? Why is that? Why is it that it's always got to be our way? You know, it's my parents this year again. It's my vacation trip this year again. And yes, I am going hunting this year again. Why can't we ever please the wife? How does that not work? I mean, why are we so hypocritical that what God does for us, think that through, God, the holy God, does that for us, and yet we won't do that for our wife, just to please her? Yeah, but it doesn't make much sense. You don't think some of your requests to God don't make sense? And on it goes. Husbands as a leader. Again, your authority is defined in 1 Peter 3:7 and Ephesians 5:25. In your authority and in your leadership, only God has unlimited. Your authority, your leadership is defined within the context of Scripture. Let me give you some reasons for your authority and how I look at your authority and my authority as a husband. As we lead in the home, one of the first reasons that we have our authority is to exemplify Christ-like leadership. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to give His life a ransom for many. Who is going to lead that in the home? Who's going to set the example? Who's going to determine the atmosphere and the culture of the home that we are not a bunch of self-centered, fighting, egotistical people? We are in it for each other. Men, you need to lead in this. You need to raise that standard. You need to put your dress blues on. You need to get the drum corps behind you. You need to be marching and leading in this area of Christ-like leadership, of serving. And this is where the home is trained. Number two, to develop humility and obedience in the home. You know, Proverbs 6, "These six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are abomination to Him, and the first one is a proud look." God fights against the proud. God resists the proud. And maybe that's why our lives are sometimes more difficult than they should, because we won't get rid of the stupid pride. But then what does He do? Instead of resisting the proud, who does He give grace to? Yeah. Well, you know what? As the gardeners are finding out, and Ethan is a good kid. And we've been able to hang around Ethan just a little bit, even the other day, Friday night. And Ethan was doing some things. And I asked Jessica, "Did Jesse teach him that?" But here's the point. We all have pride. So, Dad, When was the last time you demonstrated humility in the home? When did you lead in matters of humility? When did you lead and say, you know what, we all need to start being a little more humble here? As we are teaching it and demonstrating it, as we do so, the home is trained. Another reason for the authority is to guide the family in godly living. All the various struggles of life, all the teachings of Scripture. You know, one of the reasons I said sometimes that wives have a hard time submitting to authority because they've never seen it in the home. Well, men, one of the best ways that you can rear a godly home is not necessarily bring them to church. Because even though you may get them here, they're passing notes, they're texting, they're doing all kinds of things. They're not really paying attention. And even if they were paying attention, what is a half hour or a little more than that today in compares to the other 100 and some hours of the week? And again, how do we take this abstract and bring it to concrete? Well, Dad, you need to lead in this. Husbands, you need to lead in this. Let me show you how godliness looks. And you know what? You just follow right behind me as I lead you in this. That's what we need to do. Another reason for your authority as the head of the house, number four, is to ensure a sense of security and stability in the home, both from within and without. Again, sibling rivalry cannot be supported from Scripture. I see selfishness, I see jealousy, I see just anger, I see corrupt communication. Men, you need a lead in this. Husbands, you need to show that there's a sense of security and stability in the home, both from within and from without. The routines are established, the roles are defined, the bills are paid. Stable. From without, the influence of the world is greatly restricted. Some of this stuff that the kids are downloading, not necessarily our kids, but some of this music and lyrics that the kids are downloading on their iPods, Dad, have you ever listened to their iPods? And I'm not going with the music. And if you listen to the words, what are they being indoctrinated to? The television programs that they're watching, the DVDs that they're renting, what is the essence of what they're listening to and watching? You need to protect them, a sense of security and stability. Men, it's our duty to lead as head of the house to provide for the needs of the homes, the spiritual needs, the financial needs, the honey-do list, the old proverbial honey-do list. You know that stupid light switch that has been broken for how many years? Be a leader and fix it. You know that faucet that's continuing to drink? You know that shingles, the window that won't open, the car? Men, lead. Set the example of being punctual. Set the example and lead the family that something needs to be done, we do it. Just don't wait while we sit around watching TV. Get her done. Fix it. To protect those within the home. That again is the sense of our headship. The man is the head of the house. To protect those in the home. Number seven, the husband is the head of the house to facilitate effective ministry to God. You know what, kids? As someone recently said that I respect a lot. You know, life is not about stuff. Life is not about self, but it's about souls. So you know what? I'm going to lead our home in that mindset. That is going to be the paradigm or the foundation from which we're going to build our life. We're going to build our home in these 18, 20 years that you're at home. It's not going to be about you, and it's not going to be about stuff, but it's all going to be about souls. It's all going to be about ministering and serving and working for others. That's what it's all about. Follow me and I will lead you as the head of this home as we look to facilitate ministry to God and then to each other. And then training those in the home to be a good witness for Christ. That is why we're the head of the house. Dads, we ought to come home, or husbands, we ought to come home and say, praise the Lord, I got another soul saved through the help of God. Hey kids, sit down. Let me tell you about this experience where I was able to lead someone to the Lord. Have your children or has your wife ever heard of that? A husband is a learner. A husband is a leader. A husband as a lover. Husbands, do you love your wives with the same intensity and with the same kind of love as Christ loved the church? And obviously, the answer is almost rhetorical. No. No. That's not going to work. We're just not like Christ. But when you really, if we were to ask, and I did throw something up on the web, and I have gotten a few hits. I guess you'll just have to trust me that I'm not going to say. Well, Robin Scogin posted saying that she wishes her husband would, but whatever. In any event, I got some, so I'll have maybe a little bit more information about what wives would wish in their husbands. But, and I'm not saying you necessarily have to love it. Well, yes, I am. Here's what I am saying. I'm rushing, trying to finish up here quickly. Let's just state it the way the outline says. According to understanding, is your wife very much happy and satisfied with the amount of understanding that you have about her? Yes or no? And then, if no, then you need to take some of this stuff, and it's very basic, but it'll get you started. You need to start understanding her. You really do. You're commanded to. Dwell with them in an understanding way. Or dwell with them according to knowledge or under understanding, however the translation is. Secondly, husbands, do you love her appropriately with that knowledge? Do you love her? Do you really do? If I were to put out pieces of paper and say, ask your wives, wives within the last, what's a big day? Since school started, for most of us, we can figure that. Since school started, has there been a time in your life where you've doubted your husband's love for you? And if I got any papers back with the yes circled, you got work to do. Now, there should never, ever, 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 ever be a point in your wife's life where she wonders or questions your love for her. Do we ever question God's love for us? Heavens, no. As we look at our jewelry with the cross or the necklace with the cross or whatever, never. Do we doubt God's love for us? And then thirdly, you know, you're the head of the home. And I've heard people almost use it in profane ways. Yeah, that's right. I am the head of the home. Good. I'm glad you are. Biblically you are. But how are you using that headship? Are you using it in some of those ways that I listed? Or is it all about Dan? And I'll tell you what, I don't like this and I don't like that. And you need to do this and you need to do that. And hurry up and do it. My way or the highway. And hurry up. You kids, you better get a move on it too. Do we look at, as we look at the headship of Christ, did he ever do that in the Gospels? Well, maybe you could say the cleansing of the temple. Think that through a little bit. Other than that, when in the world did Christ start throwing his weight around like some of us husbands do? And then with that leadership as the head of the house, just one other question. And then I will be done. Husbands, where are you leading them? Where are you leading them? Again, if I were to throw some papers out to the wives or post it on some anonymous blog that somehow Pastor Jesse could rig up so wives could answer without worrying about being found out. If I were to say, wives, where's your husband's leading you? What would be the response? Where are you going? I mean, you're going somewhere. Where are you going? Husbands, we need to be learners. We need to be lovers. We need to be leaders. Let's pray. So, Father, we do thank you for, again, the Word of God. And it is kind of difficult, and it will be for a few more weeks, because we've got another week or so with the men, and then we've got children, and then we've got employers. So, as I mentioned here a week or two ago, we're all done playing games now. This is not just, you know, some mindless thing that we can sit in and talk about, metaphysics or something. This is everyday real life. There's a lot of husbands here. There's a lot of wives here. There's a lot of children here. There's a lot of employees here. Time for playing games is over with. So now, Father, as we come to you, as we just kind of close this service out, first of all, to the wives. Are they submitting more than this week than last week? Or has there been any attempt to contort, to conform their lives to the teaching of Scripture? And now this week, Father, I tried to do a broad shotgun blast, trying to step on a couple toes anyway. If the toes were stepped on, now what are we going to do about it? Or as we say just about every Sunday, so what? So what are we going to do? Well, again, Father, as we're quieting our hearts before you, I pray that, again, we will follow your leading. There may be confession that needs to be done. There needs to be maybe some repentance that needs to be done. There needs to be activities or actions that maybe need to be started. Maybe some activities, attitudes, or actions that need to be stopped. But again, Father, you are the great teacher. You are the one who lead us and guide us. So we will just commit ourselves to you, asking that you would continue to do a work in our hearts, even though we do leave here. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we have the